Welcome to Puentes, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest on this edition is Border Environmental Justice Liaison for the New Mexico Environment Department, Tomas Ruiz, to tell us about a chronic disease of the central nervous system, a global disease. Good afternoon, Tom.
Good afternoon, Emily.
And tell us, what is this disease?
Well, multiple sclerosis, otherwise known as MS, it is a chronic disease. It affects the central nervous system. We know that to be the brain, the spinal cord, and the optic nerves. And what it does, in short, it affects the ability of your nerve cells in those locations to communicate with each other.
Well, I understand that you have been affected with that. How long have you had it?
I am, and I was diagnosed 4 years ago now, 4.5 years ago, out of the blue. One day just started showing some symptoms, had some follow-up analysis done, and sure enough, they concluded it is MS.
And what are the symptoms of MS?
Well, it varies from person to person. I'll talk about my symptoms and sort of what showed up with me. I developed a burning, it's an electric burning type pain on the surface of my skin, around my stomach to my back. And this pain just was not going away. I attributed it initially to a visit to the gym that I had had. I was working on abs. I was doing some crunches. I thought, oh, I got a good workout in. But the pain never left me. And it was just that strange sensation. People have likened it to shingles. I've never had shingles, but it apparently is the same sort of pain. Went in and had it checked out. I also had an associated numbness of my left leg and clumsiness of my left leg, not to the point where it's paralyzed, but to the point where it didn't really do what I wanted it to do when walking, so I started tripping over myself.
So these are some of the major symptoms that people have. Well, let's go back and talk about MS and who usually gets it, and are you a typical person?
No, I'm not. I kind of got the raw end of the deal here. As a male Latino, I'm one of the least likely types of person to get MS. You generally see it more, three times more, as a matter of fact, worldwide in women. It's a disease mostly of women. Three quarters of the incidents are in women, as well as whites. Northern European whites generally show the highest numbers of people being afflicted with MS. So,
and here in the United States, in what areas?
In the United States, generally, and another trend, you know, it's hard to really define, but trends that they've seen are people in areas of the country where there's less sunlight are people more likely, you see more likely high numbers of people with MS. I happen to grow up in Chicago, and yeah, I mean, during the winters, we saw very little sunlight. I can remember January, February, we're going 30 days or so with cloudy, gloomy days. So those are the types of trends that you see. Generally, women having higher incidence, as well as generally whites.
Is it an inherited disease?
There's no link to genetics, this disease. There's no proof that it's passed down from generation to generation. Myself, I'm the only one in my family that has MS. And looking at my parents and my aunts, uncles, grandparents, no cases of it at all.
So this is something unique then. But it is a curable disease, is it not?
Well, it's not curable. It's treatable. This is a disease that, is luckily with lots of funding and for research efforts, there are several treatments that are available out there, mostly in the form of shots, injections. I happened to be on a treatment of Rebif, is a trade name, and it was an injection 3 times a week of interferon.
What other viruses are linked to multiple sclerosis?
There's evidence of, I think it's varicella zoster, which has been associated with it, the hepatitis vaccine as well, Epstein-Barr, in other words, having mononucleosis earlier in life. But again, Emily, I've never seen anything concrete that shows that if you've had this, you will develop MS. There's nothing out there that will show that.
And the community here in Doñana County and all of New Mexico, do you feel that people are very aware of it?
I think, you know, in the 4 years that I've had this disease and having participated now in the annual event, which is usually in the spring, the MS Walk, I've seen more and more participation and awareness in this disease. I mean, I myself, having not known anything about it really before I was diagnosed, in the time that I've had it and have been involved, I've seen an increase in awareness, definitely.
And what support systems are there? Is there a group here in New Mexico?
There is. We have a local chapter of the National MS Society. Now, they're based in Albuquerque, the Rio Grande chapter, and they actually are in charge of putting on these walks, organizing these MS walks throughout the state, not only in Las Cruces, but in places like Jell, New Mexico, you know, small towns, and of course, Albuquerque and other towns as well throughout New Mexico. They've been very supportive. They have a very good website for resources. I've spoken with people from that chapter. You know, obviously, I had a lot of questions when I was first diagnosed. So there's a great support group out there.
And do you have a normal lifespan?
Yeah, MS really doesn't have an effect on one's lifespan generally. You can live, live out your normal lifespan. The only difference is probably the quality of life. Now that depends from person to person. There's a greater chance of becoming more immobile as you get older. But again, that all depends. It's on a person by person basis.
What causes the symptoms of MS?
Well, it's generally, in layman's terms, it's the short circuiting of the nervous system. I mentioned earlier about the nerve cells, the inability of the nerve cells to communicate effectively with one another. So they're short-circuited, and I think that's what's causing the pain, for example, on the side of my body that I deal with 24 hours a day. Constant pain since the time I first showed symptoms, and that's 4.5 years now. So there's what I know to be permanent damage in my spinal cord that innervates that part of my body. And that damage, of course, is caused by my own immune cells attacking the myelin sheath, the protective coating of each nerve cell in my body. And so there's evidence of that happening. I've had MRIs done on my brain and my spinal cord. I have them done once a year to show the level of lesions, they're called, that show up. And just to kind of monitor, are there more lesions than last time? Or are they generally staying about the same? That's the follow-up is needed for that on a yearly basis.
So that would be affecting the nerve fibers?
Exactly. The nerve cells and how they fire and how they, in short, communicate with one another.
And usually at what age do people get this?
It varies. There's been evidence of children as young as 2 years old developing MS. And I just read some about a 75-year-old as well. So it really varies. Generally, though, between 20s and 30s, I believe, or 20s and 40s, that range is when people are diagnosed.
And what do they recommend that you do for some of the, when you have these attacks? Do you have attacks or do you have?
Well, they're termed relapses. Those vary from person to person. Generally, when you have a relapse, if I see my neurologist, if I'm experiencing a relapse, and mainly for me, that's the numbness and clumsiness of my leg, he would prescribe infusion therapy. I would go for 5 days, about an hour each time, hour and a half, and they would pump me full of steroids to minimize the inflammation. It is an inflammatory disease as well. And so that steroids was the steroid treatment would minimize or reduce the inflammation within my body. So that's a general treatment for a relapse.
Will this eventually affect your ability to walk?
Possibly. Yeah, I mean, there's a good chance of that. Right now in my 40s, early 40s, I'm experiencing some difficulty, some days more than others, of getting around. And so it's highly likely that for me it would affect my ability to walk. I may have to resort to a cane or eventually to a wheelchair.
Well, you're a very active person, though. You work for New Mexico State University?
I do. I work for the state of New Mexico and as well as the university. I kind of have the best of both worlds there, working for the state, for the environment department. My job is active. I get out in the field and visit different communities. And with the university giving lectures, I lecture for my class twice a week. So I'm up in front of students. And I do play guitar as well. I keep active with that. I don't let my music go.
And a family man, too. How many children?
Right. I have 2 children, and they keep me very busy. I don't miss an opportunity to come home, and if my little boy wants to play baseball in the backyard, I don't pass that up because, again, I don't know how long I'll be mobile like I am now.
And what would you recommend to someone who has it, and what would be the first steps that they start seeking for support?
Yeah, it's scary. I mean, if you're newly diagnosed, it is scary. But realize that there's a support system out there. I would get on that website, the National Multiple Sclerosis Society website, the local chapter, the Rio Grande chapter, and start contacting people there because, you know, in the United States, there are 400,000 people that suffer from this. Worldwide, it's 2 million, I believe. But in the United States, 400,000. But here in New Mexico, we're blessed to have some really good support, a good support system. So I would also just research on my own online, but all the while having a positive attitude, just knowing that this is not going to kill you. It's not going to take years away from your life. If you have that positive attitude, I think you can really handle it well. You know, with regards to MS treatment, there are several drugs available, and they're newly discovered drugs or drugs put on the market almost on a yearly or bi-yearly basis. I have had experience with Rebif. It's a drug that's been in use since 1998. Now, I've had problems with Rebif as well. It's an injection you take every other day, but the side effects for me have been pretty drastic, experiencing flu-like symptoms the morning after a shot. And so, you know, that really interfered with my ability to work, to go to work. I remember going on a lot of business trips around the time I was last on Rebif, and it just affected hindered my ability to participate in important meetings because of the side effects. And those side effects of flu-like symptoms, you feel chills, it's really, really achy in your joints. Because what this drug does is it stimulates an infection in your body. So your immune cells, which are normally, if you're an MS person afflicted with MS, there's immune cells are attacking your own brain and spinal cord. Instead, they're diverted, right? They're attacking this drug that you've injected into yourself. But that has side effects, again, flu-like symptoms. So I'm no longer on Rebif. I've chosen just not to take it anymore, and I don't know what sort of consequences that will have on my prognosis, but it's a conscious choice I made not to take Rebif anymore.
Now, the annual, is it a bicycle run that they have?
Right. I mean, there are different activities throughout the state. I know there's a bike ride in northern New Mexico. I have a friend, actually, who's done that. But the walk that's held here, it's in April. I believe it's April 6th coming up in 2013. Yeah, and it's several hundred people register. We have teams, and people organize their teams. They try to recruit, you know, their friends and family to join their teams. And it's a great fundraiser, great event.
Nationwide, is there also a nationwide fundraiser, a certain date?
Absolutely. In different communities throughout the country, they hold similar types of walks and bike rides too. I know less about the bike rides, but more about the walks, obviously.
Do you know when this was first diagnosed, when people found out about it?
It was, you know, in the mid-1800s, I think it was around in the 1860s, that a researcher by the name of Chargaud, I believe was his name, he first identified the symptoms of MS. And so he's credited with first having characterized this disease. It was really brought to light, I guess, more so in the late 1900s, maybe in the 1980s or so. I know of celebrities who have this disease. I've read her book, Terry Garr. Yes, I believe she was an actress in the 80s, 90s. Also, Montel Williams is affected with MS, and he's written a book. He's been on Oprah. I saw his interview on Oprah. And
well, he's not female, and he's...
There's another case of, you know, it's a kind of an anomaly, right? But those do exist, like myself and Montel Williams. Once it started getting more out in there in the mainstream with celebrities having this type of disease, most recently it was Jack Osborne, Ozzy Osborne's son, who was diagnosed with MS, I believe, about 6 months ago or so, less than a year ago. So there again, you know, receiving attention because of the fact that known people are dealing with this, struggling with this as well.
Well, since the 1868 then, when Jean-Martin Charcot then it became known as MS.
Right. But even then, it was still a mystery disease. Again, reading Terry Garr's book or biography, she exhibited these symptoms on movie sets when she was filming movies in the 1980s, and she couldn't get diagnosed. She didn't receive a firm diagnosis, I believe, for over 10 years. So even then, it was still as recent as 30 years ago, sort of a mystery disease.
But now people are able to diagnose it more readily?
There's no simple diagnostic test that shows that conclusively that you have MS, but rather, you know, looking at the symptoms and having those being consistent with some diagnostic tests. I know for me, it was a spinal tap that I had done, a lumbar puncture, where they analyzed the protein content of my cerebrospinal fluid that really pointed to the fact that I did have MS. But if you look at the literature, there's no, you know, concrete diagnostic test that says, yes, you have it, but rather looking at all the symptoms.
So you said that there could be some lesions affected. Are these inner or are these visible lesions?
They are under magnetic resonance imaging. The lesions that appear in your brain or in a person who has MS in your brain are indications of myelin sheath, the myelin sheath on the nerve cells within your brain or spinal cord, having been eaten away or worn away by your own immune cells. So those show up as lesions. In fact, that's the name of the disease. It comes from multiple sclerosis, means many lesions. In this case, you know, visually in your brain under magnetic resonance imaging and in your spinal cord.
So it's not anything that you could see visually yourself, you know, see on your skin.
No. And that was real perplexing to me, because the pain that I have that's associated with disease that I deal with constantly, there's no rash or anything on my skin to indicate this burning sensation that I'm feeling all the time. There's nothing like that at all.
So very visible. Similar to, like you said, shingles, which you thought that possibly you had shingles,
right.
But you had no visible
lesions. There was nothing
lesions.
Visible, no rash or anything, irritation on my skin at all.
But the shingles comes from, it's also a dormant virus that sits in your spinal cord with people who have had chicken pox.
Yeah, that's my knowledge of shingles and how it comes about later in life, yes. I don't know if there's I've seen literature, but no distinct tie-in with having harbored that virus in your body. And of course, it lays dormant, but it eventually showing up as MS. I don't know of anything like that.
And you said you have a constant pain. Are you on pain medication?
Yes, I am. I do take a daily dose of gabapentin. Neurontin is another name for it, 300 milligrams. And that sort of, Lyrica is another one. It sort of dulls the pain receptors, I guess. And so I'm able to manage. If I miss it for a couple of days, it's hard to even wear a shirt. The contact of clothing on my skin sets off this tremendous pain. And so, yeah, I have to stay on this medication in order just to do normal things, carry on normal activities.
So these are some things that people aren't aware of. I mean, what other surprising things would you say that people aren't aware of about this disease?
Well, it can attack your optic nerves as well. People have lost their sight, or temporarily vision loss, temporarily losing their vision as a result of MS. That's another way it can manifest itself. Also, incontinence. People can lose their ability to hold in their bowels as a result of MS if it happens to attack that portion of the brain. It all depends on where it attacks, really, in the white matter of your brain. A slurred speech, but I haven't had a problem with that. Memory loss as well, short-term memory loss.
What about writing?
Sure, any kind of motor activity that you may be able to carry on, that can be affected if that portion of the brain is affected. Luckily for me, my guitar playing has not been that affected. At least I can't see any signs of that. You know, there's so many things about MS and what it is and what it isn't. What it is, we know it to be a chronic disease. We know that it's unpredictable as well. Symptoms can vary from person to person. It's a global disease. It affects 2 million people throughout the world. And it's treatable. I mentioned some of the treatment options, or at least the option that I was on. What it's not, though, it's not contagious. That's it may be a misconception of multiple sclerosis. It's not a disease that's able to be, I can't sneeze and give it to you, Emily, for example. Or there's no evidence of me passing it on or having passed it on to my children that I have.
Well, I appreciate you coming down to Puentes here at KRWG to tell us about this disease, this chronic disease, MS, multiple sclerosis, and to learn more about it. Thank you, Tomas Ruiz, Border Environmental Justice Liaison for the New Mexico Environment Department.
My pleasure, Emily. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're welcome. For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.